We said a couple incriminating things before.
Yeah.
Good thing I can delete that.
Boy.
And they'll never know.
I know some agencies that would love to get their hands on that pre-roll.
It is Fright Day. This is episode 57. I'm your host, Byron. And tonight, people have been tortured. But was it all on screen? You'll know soon enough, because tonight, we're reviewing the American adaptation of Martyrs. And in an attempt to make me feel even worse about her upcoming vacation, we're talking Ghosts of Disney World. In this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies, I'm joined tonight by Kelly.
Hey, guys. It's really going to be good. Don't think it's not going to be good, because it's really going to be good.
And Sam.
Hey, guys. That's the market quality. Begging people to not think that something's going to be terrible.
I mean, I can understand why our more serious parapsychologists who tune in might be like, yeah, but legit, there are some super awesome stories.
So you are aware that the Haunted Mansion isn't really haunted, right?
You guys aren't
funny.
Those
aren't ghosts.
You guys are not funny.
They're animatronics.
You guys are not funny.
You're leaving me.
Well, I mean, just shortly. But I worked really hard up until our departure so that there'd be some extra tape for you to post, you know?
It's true.
I haven't done shit.
All right. You've done a bit, and I appreciate it from both of you.
I've been trying to get all our writers organized. I've been working.
No, you've been doing a great job.
Our writers have been working, too. They're pretty good writers.
I'm just upset at FrightDay.com. That's where they've been working.
They have been working.
I'm just upset because I don't get to join you on your journey. I'm stuck here in the cold wilderness of Montana.
The frozen fucking north.
I'm sorry.
It's
what
okay.
are you talking about, Sam? You're going too.
You're going too?
I am.
Oh, gosh.
I was just trying to make Byron feel worse about it.
Hey, Sam, we just found out your computer's haunted. What are you going to do next?
It's not haunted. It's just...
You're supposed to say, I'm going to Disney World.
All right. That whole part is getting cut. Cutting most of that. You deserve a break, guys. I appreciate all your
I know heart. You deserve a break, too, and specifically a break where you're in a happy place rather than a morbid one.
What do you mean?
Next time, you got to come with us.
Oh, okay, but let's come on now.
You exist kind of in a morbid place when you take
it's
breaks.
It's untrue. I feel great. I'm doing great. I've had a great week. I watched some things.
Yeah,
what
did you
watch?
I watched a really bad morbid movie.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called Starve. Beck is a struggling graphic novelist, and he takes a road trip in search
for... Wait, did you say Beck?
Beck.
As in Beck the artist.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's in a movie?
Oh, no.
Like Odelay Beck.
No, not Odelay Beck.
Mellow Gold Beck.
No, not
Sex
that.
Vultures Beck.
Soy.
Not the man with
Perdidor.
The... His hair is not of the devil style.
We get the Kelly we deserve.
Yeah.
I'm a loser, baby.
People really hate it when you sing loudly into the mic.
I can think of two of them right here that do.
So,
do you want me to start again? I can sing from back here.
No.
That's not the point.
Okay.
We need to tighten this up just a bit.
For a bunch of people who don't drink heavily, we are just f***ing
I should go get
all
wine.
Over the
no,
place.
No, you're fine. So Beck drags his brother and his girlfriend to this abandoned town in Florida after hearing of an urban legend of feral children.
Florida?
Feral children.
Nothing good happens in feral Florida.
That's not true.
All children are feral to some degree.
But they quickly find themselves trapped in an abandoned high school in this supposedly abandoned town, held captive by a reclusive psychopath named Runyon.
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 That is a hillbilly name.
A little bit. So he's kind of like a creepy principal of this school that's been converted to have all these different cages where they're keeping people.
Oh, where they feed them tons of food?
That's the thing, is they're not feeding them a lot. They are feeding them a little, but only as a reward for violence against each other. Death matches.
Oh, so it's a battle royale scenario.
I mean, even the food that they give them isn't enough. So sometimes they're tempted to snack on...
chocolate chip cookies.
The defeated. I'm talking cannibalism.
The final taboo.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Byron.
What do you mean?
Can't you just watch something scary that isn't totally twisted and fucked up?
But this is what my job is here. I'm the gore guy. Gore god.
How about we make a deal, Byron? For the next month,
sure.
I will take over the gore role.
Really?
And I can watch that shit, and you watch purely...
Except for you won't watch it. You'll just say you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll watch it. I watched Martyrs tonight.
You did watch Martyrs, which is coming up later in the show.
So anyway, Byron,
as I said,
they have to resort to cannibalism.
Occasionally. It's not like a full-on cannibalism movie. But yeah,
they dabble in it.
It's an element. And it's got some interesting practical effects. There's some finger detachment stuff, a couple bites, some good, reasonable blood. It's nothing groundbreaking, and it's exactly what it is. It's a Redbox horror film.
Redbox, eh?
It's that quality, but honestly, it was pretty interesting.
And, oh, this is fairly recent.
Yeah. I think it came out 2014. Yep. That's what I watched. Mm. Kelly, don't approve.
No, I just really think we need to play a swap for a while, because I am so worried about your mental health.
Are you looking at the bags under my eyes?
No, it has nothing to do with the bags. It has to do with... like certain scenes in the movie tonight when you start laughing hysterically.
Didn't laugh
them.
Hysterically.
No, you did.
No.
That was all inside.
Total
I swear.
Exaggeration.
I thought that was inside.
No, it wasn't inside. Like the part when they start...
All right, spoiler alert.
Well, you can beep it.
Yeah.
But that part...
Yeah, Byron, you can fix all this.
Byron likes doing bleeps. I'll have you know that's one of the edits he enjoys.
I do love it. It's
Told
fun
you.
To do.
But during that part when you start going...
I don't think I did that.
Don't do that into the microphone.
I didn't do that. Sam.
So he's a demonic
you
elf?
You basically laughed during that scene the way that I laugh on Splash Mountain.
I don't think...
you did. And that's why we need to switch roles.
I feel like you're trying to hurt
me. That's why no one
me.
Listens to anything that you say, because what you say is
I'm
craziness.
Trying to point out that you maybe need to reel yourself in for your own well-being.
Well, Byron, while you were watching Redbox Horror, I, and Kelly, I guess, were watching the classics... namely, Lucio Fulci's The Beyond.
You're a far better man than I.
Not well. Really. It wasn't very good.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't sit here and take this.
Sam, go ahead.
I would like to say Kelly was right, but... I hate saying Kelly's right.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
And in
about?
This case, she could not be more wrong. The Beyond was amazing. I had not seen this movie, which is a great failing on my part, but...
Classic Fulci.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely adored it. The acting was, you know, typical Italian horror grade acting, really overwrought, over the top, melodramatic, and just perfect for the tone of this movie. It revolves around a woman who inherits a hotel in Louisiana. Turns out that the hotel is on a portal to hell.
Classic story.
Yeah, exactly. People get turned into zombies. It's great. The real star of The Beyond is the gore. The culmination of practical gore effects, I think, was probably around 1983, and it was achieved by Lucio Fulci.
The opacity of blood.
Oh, yeah, like red paint, the rubbery skin. I mean, probably hopefully doesn't ruin anything, but an incredible scene where a guy's face gets eaten by tarantulas.
It's a great scene.
Oh,
Kelly, why?
Yeah.
Okay, you know how a lot of the old horror movies you just don't like, Byron? Like the really old ones? That's how I feel about this type of horror movie. It's just bad acting.
But that's intentional.
Yeah, I don't like it. The one thing that I really did like was the beginning when it had the same Grindhouse credits that Grindhouse had.
So you like Grindhouse releasings?
Well, I just thought it was cool. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was used for anything other than like actually Grindhouse. That was pretty cool. That was it. That was kind of the only part I liked.
I don't know if I like it.
I'm going to have to tell my sister's Italian boyfriend that I don't like Fulci.
So this sounds to me like I get to watch a lot more Grindhouse releasing.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier with The Beyond. And I was just looking through the credits. One of the writers, Dardano Sacchetti, also wrote Demons, which we talked about.
Which was also freaking
bad. No, you're terrible. You just don't... Oh, I think the show's over. We're about 57 episodes deep, and I can't do it anymore, Kelly.
I'm sorry. You guys just like bad stuff.
Oh, no.
You see that list I posted of the top 13 over 50 years old?
No, I don't
for
really.
You?
I saw really it. It's not
stuff.
Up yet.
You need to tick those off your list.
Well, I guess I've got to toss a couple your way, too.
And you didn't have Creature.
Fine.
You didn't even have Creature from the Black Lagoon on your list.
You said you liked the list.
I did like the list. It was a very good list, but it didn't have Creature on it.
I'm sorry.
So how do you feel about the announcement this week?
Which one?
M. Night is officially taking over Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Remember how good the visit was, guys? Have some faith.
I had faith.
The big deal is, yes, it's coming back, and it's going to be an anthology.
It's also going to be on TNT.
Yeah.
Which is... what were you going to say? I was going to say it's awesome because that was a place where my childhood still lives, watching Monster Vision. Is that right?
TNT's Monster Vision.
Yeah.
With Joe Bob Briggs.
Yeah.
That was
logo.
God, I had forgotten that.
Oh, that logo with the Tesla coils and the... yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know, a lot of people write me and say, hey, Joe Bob Briggs, just what is Monster Vision? You don't need no special glasses or an insect's head. Just a healthy love for slime and disrespect for the dead. We'll talk about some movies by the old double wide. And when you get that creepy feeling creeping up inside, well then you got monster vision, it's a heck of a fright. We're tearing the heart out of Saturday night. These monster vision movies serve a primitive drive. Cause watching people die can make you feel so alive. So throw away your clicker now, the flicks have begun. Cause there's nothing you can do while fully dressed, it's as fun as watching TNT beneath the bug zapper light. We're tearing the heart out of Saturday night.
Tearing the heart out of Saturday night.
Tearing the heart out of Saturday night.
Very few things that stick with me as much as that does. I think TNT is trying to reclaim horror because they're doing a 2-hour block of horror every week now.
Yeah, and they have they announced what the other part of it's going to be beyond
Tales? I don't
know.
Just Tales for now.
Tales is going to be an hour, so that only leaves an hour to fill.
Oh, gosh, you're right.
So it almost has to be original. Man. So what do you think about the Crypt Keeper decision?
I hate it.
Isn't the whole thing about the Crypt Keeper?
No,
he's
the narrator.
Yeah, but that's like he's the central.
Guide.
He's kind of
the wraparound.
Yeah, and I don't know what they can do without him.
Well, HBO still holds the rights to the Crypt Keeper as featured in the HBO series that we all love. I have heard a rumor, and I don't know if this is true, but they're going to use a Crypt Keeper more directly akin to that guy featured in the comics. Old man.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with the comics. It's an older gentleman.
Yeah, kind of just like a crazy old guy with long hair and a hood. And yeah, so...
How do you feel about that?
I loved the comics.
Okay.
But I love the HBO series also. I think there's potential.
It's more horror on TV. And it's spreading out, you know?
Yeah.
It's not all on AMC.
On Monster Vision on Saturday nights.
That's
at
also true.
11 o'clock.
Oh, God. That'll be great. But M. Night, I swear to God.
Yeah,
you fucked this up.
Tales from the Crypt was one of the comic. EC reissued it in the early 90s. They reissued the original runs of Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror, Witch's Cauldron, that whole Entertaining Comics line from the 50s originally. And that was kind of like my first, I guess, introduction to the more graphic horror. I mean, there was lots of blood and
graphic novels.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And previous to that, I'd been mostly my access to horror was the Universal monster movies and non-graphic books. The comic holds a special place in my heart, and I do love the HBO series as well.
I guess we'll see. Kelly, I'm looking at the back of your computer. Looks
yeah.
like. Are you doing all right with the passing of David Bowie?
Super sad. I mean, I know Sam's really sick of hearing about it. He was just a really incredible person, and I kind of semi-thought he might be an alien, too, so apparently he wasn't.
And that's why you have the image of him in the film.
As Jareth, yeah.
I don't know.
I have Jareth holding an apple on the lid of my computer.
I'm sorry.
It's a sad thing. Have you watched the last music video?
I did.
Pretty...
intense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're struggling with the loss of David Bowie, you can definitely go to FrightDay.com. We've got a bit of an homage.
A homage.
Is that right?
We've got a list
of
movies that had something to do with him, and they're all good.
That's very nice. That was great of you and Alex to team up on that.
Yeah, Alex and I make a hell of a top 13 team.
That is a great sticker. Where's his bass guitar? Sorry, we're talking about Lemmy, aren't we?
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Sam,
Lemmy's been dead for a couple weeks. Get over
it. Oh my God. You're a terrible monster.
Okay, I'm sorry, David Bowie was a good person.
Are you saying that Lemmy was not?
Lemmy was an awesome person.
I'm saying that David Bowie did a lot of positive things in this world.
I feel like we can't do this right now. They're both gone. They're both legends, and we should move on.
We should. I totally
agree. Yeah. Fine.
Let's talk all things ghastly in the Magic Kingdom. We're talking ghosts in Disneyland in this week's edition.
Disney World. Sorry. I'm going to punch you in the fucking throat if you get that wrong one more time.
Because cryptids and conspiracies.
Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies.
There's a reason I put you by her.
I'm not sure how many of our listeners know this, but Disney World is one of my favorite places on Earth. And it's also one of my husband's favorite places on Earth.
That's weird.
It is weird.
It's no one else's favorite place.
I know.
It's like our special spot.
Is that right? It's your spot.
It's our private.
You know, there's actually this really interesting article that was written about how that's kind of like the pilgrimage spot for Americans. Interesting thing is, I have never really dug into the ghosts of Disney World before, because I just go there and exist in this amazing alternate universe while I'm there and don't have to worry about anything. It's like an out-of-body experience for a full 10 days. It's like amazing. But I decided, in light of my new profession as a paranormal researcher and a cryptozoologist, that I should probably do a little bit of looking into both categories when it comes to Florida. And there are some interesting cryptids down in Florida. Skunk Ape makes a lot of appearances down there. But I actually found a ton of spectacular Walt Disney World ghost stories and figured I should put on my parapsychologist hat and do a little discussion of those.
Fantastic.
The obvious one, which you guys have already managed to mock me for, is the Haunted Mansion.
Sure.
Believe it or not, there are actually rumors of ghosts in the Haunted Mansion.
I believe that there are rumors of ghosts.
The Haunted Mansion has some legit ghosts. One of those ghosts is apparently an old man with white hair and a cane, and he shows up at different points in time. He shows up for some of the workers when they're there at night doing repairs. He shows up in front of cast members, and he shows up in front of guests.
You act as if cast members would be of a different type of person?
Well, cast members are the people who are working there.
Well, yeah, I know, but they're all humans.
Right, but my point is, we've got different sources.
Okay.
Different types of people with different levels. So, for example, if you saw it as a guest, it might actually be part of the ride that you're just not aware of. The cast members know all the parts of the ride.
I see what you're saying. Okay, see? I just thought you were implying that there were different breeds of
Well, I mean, they human. Are. Hmm. That's fine. There is also a really, really creepy story about a person that was getting on to Sam. The cars in Haunted Mansion are called Doom Buggies.
Yes.
Sam loves Doom Buggies. And there's, it's true.
Doom.
Doom.
Oh, I
Doom.
Do like that. That's fun.
Yeah. Sam really loves them. And there's this story of a gentleman who was getting on to a Doom Buggy. There were three cast members at the loading zone. There was one cast member behind the operations thing that actually moves the cars along. There was one cast member on the other side of the platform. And then there was one cast member kind of walking alongside the ramp, saying, you know that ramp that kind of moves as people are loading? You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
like a conveyor belt.
Okay. That person reaches down to grab a piece of paper and is holding the piece of paper and looking at it. The person loads into their Doom Buggy and looks up, and that person's suddenly gone, and makes some comment to the cast member like, wow, that guy moved quickly. And the cast member said, what are you talking about? Cast member's like, it's him over there and me. That's it. And there was no third cast member working there, but this person saw one. Super creepy.
Sure.
In the Haunted Mansion.
So far.
Really?
I mean, not super scared about
people
it.
People are, just a, are
well,
looking to get
place,
scared when they're in there.
It's
though.
The happiest place on Earth, so you can't really be sad. I mean, they have to be happy ghosts.
I mean, you could say that, but I'm over here reading about all of the deaths at Disneyland.
So, interestingly, there have been 12 verified deaths at Disneyland,
yeah.
And there have only been either one or two, depending on which story you believe, at Disney World, even though Disney World is, check this stat, 180 times bigger than Disneyland.
Sure.
Kind of remarkable. In my mind, that means you should really hedge your bets on going to Disney World from a safety perspective.
Not sponsored by them, by the way.
Well, I mean, they're owned by the same company.
But
so
I'm just saying you didn't get more discounted tickets to
no,
be
I wish.
Doing
It'd be
this.
Freaking awesome. It's they don't give discounted anything because they don't have to. It's fantastic. Point
Stop
being,
it.
I'm sorry. I just have, you know, your obsession with serial killers.
Sure.
That's my obsession with Disney. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
It is interesting because Disney World is apparently a much safer place.
It's newer.
Yes.
That makes sense.
One of the deaths at Disney World, a maintenance worker named George, who passed away in Pirates of the Caribbean. And there is a legend which I have seen multiple cast members verify, and I plan on asking one of them in person on this trip. Mind you, I'm going to be doing some serious Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies research while I'm in the park. You think I won't be working on vacation? Oh, no, sir. I will be working.
I would hope so.
Yes. But listen to this. The rumor is that if they don't say goodnight, George, when they're done doing all the maintenance at the end of the evening, the next day, shit always breaks down. If they say goodnight, George, things run smooth as can be the next day.
So George is a bad guy.
No, George just wants to be recognized. Mm. He wants to be acknowledged. I don't blame him.
Doesn't seem very fair.
Seems like a dick.
I don't think so at all. There is also a point, Samuel recognized this as well, and any of our listeners who have been to Disney World, in the queue, the line, which is one of the coolest things about Disney World,
it's
I might
British
add.
British line.
Right. But the lines, the places that you weave through in the queue are always very elaborate and entertaining in and of themselves.
How is the Lou queue?
The Lou queue? Yeah. Not bad. I mean, always worse for girls than it is for guys, but that's sure. Just the standard. So there's this place where you have to wander past what they have set up to look like a gunpowder storage pit in the munitions hall. Sam, you know what I'm talking about? The fireplace with the keg. That is apparently a place where people very frequently feel and see George. And there are tons of reports of kids inexplainably freaking out at that very point, screaming for no reason, and the parents have to turn around and leave.
You mean next to the big pit of gunpowder?
It's not a scary queue. Trust me, Sam, Pirates is not a scary queue.
You're in line to see Pirates. Yes. Pirates are traditionally not friendly folk.
It's kind of a creepy hallway, isn't it?
It is not creepy. There's nothing creepy about it at all.
Except for George.
Ugh. There are three different drops in Splash Mountain. Okay? Around drop three...
Very specific.
There is supposed to be a ghost because apparently the rumor is there was a person having a heart attack. When the log stopped at the top of that little drop, they got out to try and get out and get help for their heart attack. Just when the log started moving again, they fell off and were crushed.
Oh, no.
Okay.
When was this?
Fuzzy. And Snopes actually gives it a half and half rating, which I don't really know what that means. But
a lot of people tend to have heart attacks from my research here on my phone in the 30 seconds that I've been looking
at. Oh, okay. Well,
a lot of heart attacks.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of, it's rides. They have very clear warnings, though, that if you have heart conditions, you shouldn't be riding them.
Of course, I'm not blaming
Funny Disneyland. Story, the last time I was there, they have a ride called Mission Space, which is one of their newer rides, and it is supposed to simulate a landing on Mars. And what they do to simulate the G-force is they spin it so quickly in place, the little capsule that you're in, they spin it so quickly, you don't really know that you're spinning, but it creates the same exertion on your body that
the G's.
Landing. Yeah, it makes me nauseous. So my little sister loves this ride. So the last time we were in Disney World, I don't know it, but I'm pregnant. Okay.
Oh, God.
And this ride, everywhere on it, literally bigger signs than I've ever seen for a ride. If you are pregnant, do not ride this ride. Do not ride this ride. And there are two different routes you can take. You can take Mission Space Orange or Mission Space Green. Mission Space Green means you're only going to get kind of sick. Mission Space Orange is super intense. And my little sister mocked me and shamed me into doing Mission Space Orange, not knowing either of us that I was pregnant. And my little creech survived it, so that's why I think she's kind of a badass.
I'm reading some statistics here, and it says that from June 2005 to June 2006, paramedics treated 194 Mission Space riders.
It's crazy.
It's a pukatron.
25 of those passengers passed out.
Yep.
26 had difficulty breathing, and 16 had chest pains or irregular heartbeats.
You know those in movies where the astronauts are training for space, and they have... It's a giant centrifuge that's got a pod that they sit in on the end of an arm, and it just spins around really. That's what
like
it is.
Like Apollo 13.
Yeah, exactly. It's just there to make you fucking vomit.
And I'd imagine it's this incident that sparked the starting of the statistics here. On June 13th of 2005, a four-year-old boy died after riding Mission Space.
That's actually not true. I looked that one up.
What? It's right here on this... on this
it's here on this internet.
On nobody's ever died on it.
Really?
True. Nobody's ever died on it. And actually, it's one of the places that isn't haunted, so I shouldn't even
are
be talking
sure,
about
though?
It.
Because they're going into a lot of detail here.
No.
They're
nobody's...
saying that the boy had a pre-existing heart condition, and that on June 12th, 2006, there was a lawsuit filed against Disney by the parents. On January 11th, 2007, the lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice.
Meaning it cannot be brought again.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Disney killed their whole family.
I don't think that happened. Okay.
Could have.
This is kind of a cool story of a visitor who was at Disney World a few years ago. In the same vein as True Tales of Terror, I'm going to read it from their perspective. Okay?
Okay.
Ready?
Music.
On a personal note, right after my grandpa passed away, my mom, my grandma, and myself went on a trip to Disney World. We were walking along that path that goes from the bridge to Tomorrowland over to Main Street by the ice cream shop. It was late and there wasn't another person on the path other than the three of us. We were in the middle of the path and I walked through this 3 feet of the smell of cigar smoke, just like my grandpa used to smoke. It was just this little area and there wasn't anyone there to have produced it. It gave me chills. I think that's like the sweetest thing ever. And I would totally haunt the shit out of Disney World if I died.
It's the happiest place.
I mean, why wouldn't you want
to haunt?
Right. It is. So everybody knows who's seen pictures of Disney World, Spaceship Earth with the big silver ball.
That's what the big ball is?
In Epcot? Yeah, it's called Spaceship Earth.
That's where Walt hangs out on the inside and they brainwash people, like in the movie Escape from Tomorrow?
Yeah, no.
What?
That isn't what happens there.
Oh.
It is a really fun ride, though. At one point, there was a man who supposedly got claustrophobic and couldn't find anybody to stop the ride, so he jumped off. The urban legend is he got ground up in a motor. I can't find any verification of that.
You think he got ground up in a motor?
Yeah.
And you're just going to leave us with that?
Well, he supposedly haunts the inside of it now, but I don't, from what I could research, there's no verifiable evidence that he actually did get ground up in a motor.
I'm going to bet that he and a lot more people have been ground up in Disneyland World.
I think they're hiding a lot.
Oh,
no, they aren't. You need to stop watching that stupid movie.
I think there's a lot of conspiracy.
No, there's not a lot of conspiracy.
Isn't that the name of this segment?
This is one that Sam's going to love because this ride is Sam's least favorite ride at Disney World. It's a small world.
Mm.
So cast members swear, a lot of them swear up one side and down the other that after dark, the dolls actually move places and some of them disappear altogether.
But don't they move because they're animatronic?
No, like again. Move places, like switch around.
I actually heard something just recently that may make it more bearable the next time I have to ride that fucking nightmare.
What is that?
You just pretend it's a shotgun range as you're riding through it.
Sam, that's horrible.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, just all those little things, they're targets. It's like an arcade game, except with a shotgun. You just imagine you're shooting them all with a shotgun.
So cool little fact I just found. It looks like Brahms from the upcoming feature film, The Boy.
Oh, God.
Was actually part of It's a Small World.
That figures. Wait.
The doll that they used in the movie?
I just made it up, all of it.
Oh, my God. I was going to say.
Byron, that was a good makeup.
Thanks.
Oh, God.
Good fabrication.
Okay. There's a man who died in the 70s on Space Mountain in Disneyland. That was the first ride that Sam ever rode in Disney World. And Sam has a freakishly long torso, and it was really interesting because he
went a lot of places.
He felt like he was going to hit his head the whole time because it really does go over some low clearance areas. It's pretty interesting. Anyhow, so this guy apparently, as with any theme park, there are always going to be empty spots during low seasons. So in any car or rocket that's riding, once in a while, there's going to be an empty spot there. And the rumor is that he hitches a ride anytime there's an empty seat and that people can hear breathing or feel breathing behind them if he's in it. A lot of reports of that in Disneyland.
Huh.
Another thing, this is something, Sam, that I'm putting on my list. I need to get a will drawn up.
Whoa.
Yeah, you do.
It's a pretty popular thing for people to scatter their loved one's ashes on like Pirates of the Caribbean or the Haunted Mansion.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know what happens? They like strain that stuff out and then it just goes right into the garbage.
Yeah, you don't spend eternity there in the
Well, Sam, you're going to have to get creative about where exactly you place me so that I can spend eternity
there. I've got some ideas.
Okay. I think that's pretty interesting, but there are a lot of people who have verified the guy did that, even though obviously you're not supposed to. Real bad. So in case anybody listening has some crazy idea that I am saying it's a good plan to scatter ashes on those rides, it's definitely not. But Sam, I still want you to for me, okay? Just to clarify.
What are the rules? Does anyone know the rules?
Yeah, no scattering dead people, ever.
Yeah, I think you can't put corpses in any
anywhere.
Form.
Anywhere.
You know those little champagne poppers?
Oh.
That would be fun.
You know, if you... okay, did you get choked up when you thought about it?
I got, a little...
Oh, reclined. No. That's a business.
Can we move along?
Sure.
I have a really happy story. This one, unfortunately, comes from Disneyland. which
second is happiest place on earth.
Second happiest, exactly. Sure. The cool thing about Disneyland is Walt himself obviously spent behind quite a bit Reno? More time there.
Oh, you mean that racist guy?
He isn't. That's such an urban legend.
Oh, please.
No, what's we're not doing that.
What's the first happiest place on? I say it's Reno. I say the first happiest place is Reno.
Okay.
Shitty Vegas.
Okay. So when you walk into Disneyland, there is a fire department there. Right above it is the old apartment that used to be Walt's. A cast member went up there once and found the light turned on. This is obviously after Walt had passed away. She turned it off only to have it turned back on by itself as she was standing there. Whether that was really Walt or not, the park made the decision that they were going to keep the light on always. Mm-hmm. And it has been lit ever since.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, here's another interesting rumor.
He's not racist?
That I have. He isn't. Stop it.
Okay.
There's another interesting rumor I haven't been able to verify. Sam, you know in the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror how they have bellhops as the cast members?
Yes.
So spectacular. Oh, my gosh. One of them supposedly died of a heart attack while loading guests onto one of the platforms. And he now haunts the ride and rides with the passengers sometimes.
Seems like a common theme.
Heart attacks.
And then wanting to ride more?
Just rides. Always rides.
I guess you get bored.
I would. Maybe dead people's brains work differently.
I don't know, man.
Does this make you want to visit Disney World any more than you did before?
I went to Disneyland one time. Stood in line for a while. My girlfriend broke up with me 3 days prior. I cried in front of my entire class.
Okay, we need to have a second experience there.
It was pretty
and that was Byron's December.
Yeah.
This December.
Yeah, exactly. Don't bring it up.
It's still real tender.
All right, so I'm going to leave everybody with a story from a cast member of the Haunted Mansion.
Can you do it in the voice of who he was performing as?
Oh, they talk in very slow.
Okay, don't. Actually, I would prefer if you didn't do that. I'm going to take it back right now.
Kind
nope.
of like
I need you to no it's over.
Okay, all right, so I won't do that. Fine. Late at night, we only run one stretch room because it gets so quiet. That means that between groups of guests, cast members like myself at the loading dock are all by themselves, just waiting for people. Well, one cast member was waiting for the next group, thought she heard a child laughing. She figured the next group had arrived and kids were coming, but no one ever showed up. Then she saw something move out of the corner of her eye. Turning to look, she saw no one was there, so she put it off as her imagination. But then she saw it again and again. There was no one there. Well, about this time, she starts feeling a cold chill and gets kind of freaked out. All of a sudden, she feels someone put their hand on her shoulder, but there's no one there. She screamed and ran out and told management she would never go back to work in the mansion again. I saw her immediately after this happened to her. She was absolutely telling the truth.
Spooky.
So, Sam, my idea is we need to take my electromagnetic detector.
EMF detector.
It's my EMF detector with me to Disney World, and we're going to test some places out, and I'm going to interview some cast members and see what information I can get. And when I return, I hope to, at some point in the near future, give an update on interesting, hopefully personal experiences I have with the many happy ghosts of Walt Disney World. The end.
But before we leave, have you ever explored Discovery Island?
No, but I have read that whole story.
I've heard a lot about it. It seems rather eerie.
It is rather eerie because it was abandoned, but it's not nearly as cool as the story makes it sound.
Yeah, it's phenomenal creepypasta.
Is there a creepypasta about Discovery
Island? I
assume
that's where the story is.
Oh, I'm just reading the true facts.
No, the creepypasta is about an island that Disney supposedly bought off the coast of North Carolina.
Oh, that's different.
Which is a different one. It is a really good creepypasta, but
this is just it was an attraction that got closed in 1999, but I think
there were a bunch of animals that were left there and stuff, and these guys swam out in the middle of the night to it. And
I'm not reading. That's not. I'm just reading about the actual history. I don't care about the lies that you read on the creepypastas.
Oh, that one wasn't on creepypasta. That one, these guys supposedly just went out and explored it. It was like urban explorers thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know that there's still music playing through these eerie speakers.
Rumor has it, but I haven't verified. Maybe we need to check it out, Sam.
Take a swim.
Sure.
Our daughter's pretty floatable. We could just send a mic out with her and float her across.
Seems unsafe, but I'll allow it. Okay. And this has been Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies this week. I guess. Thank you, Kelly.
What do you mean you guess?
I guess I mean I do.
That was great.
It was. Thank you so much, Kelly.
You're so welcome.
Well,
Now we get to talk about something I hate as much as I love Disney World.
Whoa.
I hate martyrs.
No.
Hate.
Stop it.
Hate.
Byron's got to take all that out.
Well, kind of.
I don't think he does. I've made it very known on lots of episodes how much I hate martyrs.
Let's review the American adaptation of an amazing French film called Martyrs.
You're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Martyrs is a 2016 horror remake directed by Kevin and Michael Getz, written by Mark L. Smith, who Kelly may recognize as one of the writers of The Revenant.
Awesome movie!
Sam, could you please tell me what this remake is all about?
I would love to tell you a little bit about it.
Just a little.
A woman and her childhood friend seek out revenge on those who victimized and abused them.
Well, this has been a long time coming, hasn't it, Sam?
We've been waiting for this one for a long time in several different versions and many different, false starts, stops, and misinformation campaigns.
Whether or not it was necessary, we're going to discuss later, but it's indebatable, not a word, first of all. This movie wasn't influential in the horror genre. This 2008 French New Wave staple kind of changed the game.
Everyone you talk to that loves horror as much as we do and as much as maybe people who are listening to this podcast do, if you're serious about horror, Martyrs should be on your bucket list. And I got to preface that by saying, I don't know that I would watch it again. It is an unbelievably bleak, graphic, and intense doesn't begin to cover the extreme nature of this movie.
And I'm going to put an addendum on that statement. You really don't ever need to watch it.
Well, I mean, let's leave it up to them, but you do.
No, you don't.
Where do you weigh in on that? Somewhere between never watch it and must watch it, Byron? Where do you fall?
I think you absolutely have to watch this. My tolerance is extremely high for this type of thing. I was lucky enough to catch High Tension in the theater, which is another film very similar to this. And I made one of my pregnant friends watch Inside on Halloween a couple of years ago.
That wasn't me. I didn't do that.
Oh, it wasn't you. You waited until after, which is probably for the best.
Cowardly.
I love this stuff. Martyrs. Oof, man, you're right. I don't know if I could watch it again, but I would never, ever take back the experience that I had.
Yeah. And Martyrs, you mentioned High Tension, which I like a lot also. But Martyrs makes High Tension look like the Teletubbies.
I don't deny that. Not at all. Kelly?
Yes?
You feel very differently about, and just to be clear, we're talking about the 2008 version.
The original French version.
Yes. At this moment, I will tell you that the original was a completely unnecessary expenditure of my emotional energy. It isn't the fact that it's as gory as it is, which is not fun. But the fact that it is gory for no good substantial reason. The plot line is so asinine by the time you get to the end. What you realize the whole movie was about is so nonsensical, so ridiculous, so hard to get behind that it makes me feel like I used up mental sanity points on this movie for no good reason.
Well, just think of it as an art project, Kelly. It is so bleak that it's beyond anything that you've seen.
Yeah, but no.
It's not entertainment.
No, like I think about bleak and I think about a movie like Requiem for a Dream. Okay,
sure.
That's a movie that I would describe much in the same way that Sam described Martyrs. Very, very good. I think everybody should watch it. I will never watch it again other than to show it to my daughter so she won't do heroin.
You'll never watch Requiem for a Dream
again?
That's
the only thing that will keep our daughter from doing heroin.
Well, we're just going to make sure because that'll definitely seal the deal.
I would just fast forward to ass to ass.
My point is...
Agreed.
That had a purpose because that was actually a good movie with a logical and important message and a well-constructed story. The story for this is like... Okay, we're going to see how we can get a whole bunch of really horrific violence into this movie. And oh God, we're almost at the end of an hour and a half. We got to figure out a story. How do we explain this away? Oh yeah, let's just use this. That'll work, right? Nobody's going to care because anybody who's sitting through this is just fucking dumb anyway. So who cares? Ooh.
I think that is...
Ouch.
I don't believe that that's even close. I think you missed the point of the entire film. I really do.
There was no point to the entire film.
Well, I think you're putting weight where it doesn't belong. It doesn't matter what the characters that took action against our protagonist's thought in the end. It just matters that it happened.
Right, but there has to be at least plausible reason for it happening, and it was so asinine. It was so stupid.
I don't think that there needs to be a reason for it happening. It happened and we saw it.
I disagree. When something that's based on... It isn't home invasion horror, but it's something akin
kind of
to
is.
It. Okay, when you've got a movie based on that, there has to be a reason. Like, I would say that the reasoning behind The Purge is much easier to accept as feasible than this.
That's because it's more simple than the plot to
but
Martyrs.
It's not that it's simple or not simple. It's the fact that it's just so far-fetched that it feels like it was invented at the last minute just to try and tie something together, and it really bothers me.
And I know,
I've always felt that way.
I know you have. We've had, I guess, I feel like this is very constructive because I've wanted to talk about this movie with you for a long time, but you've kind of just said, I hate it.
I do hate it.
So I do appreciate this discussion, and I know we could do this for another hour.
Yeah, but
let's talk about the new one.
Yeah, let's shift into the film we're
just
reviewing.
So people know that this film, Pascal Laugier's 2008 version, has a 7.1 on IMDb with 56,000 reviews.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, Byron and I are not in the minority on this one.
No, I know I am. That's okay, though. The new one, however, only has a 3.6.
Huh.
Which dropped, I might add. It was a 3.7 when we started watching the movie.
It was.
And then by the end of the movie, it was a 3.6, which was interesting because there are only a couple hundred votes on it, I think.
We're coming up quickly to the release date, so I have a feeling that
it will.
They're going to be coming in. We'll get a better
judge. I'm going to just jump in right now and tell you that this movie was not good, in my opinion.
Okay.
But it was better than the original.
Weird. It seems to be opposite of what everyone else thinks.
Literally, not the figurative.
I'm
everyone.
Not afraid to walk to the beat of my own drum, Byron.
And that's why I love you, Kelly.
Yeah. I think that it didn't go as far with the gratuitous, nonsensical violence as the first one did.
As you could
Unfortunately,
expect.
It followed the same completely illogical fucking plot line.
Added some elements.
It added a couple elements. I thought that the ending of this movie was the strongest part of it. Leading up, I would say the first half, I was really rolling my eyes a lot. The second half, it got better, and the ending was my favorite.
Very interesting.
But if you are one like me who's not inclined to enjoy completely nonsensical, gratuitous violence, watch this one instead of the original because you get the same damn point and you don't have to deal with quite as much.
So you know
mental anguish points.
You know that this is a revenge film, right, Kelly?
Yes.
And that the reason she does these awful things at the beginning is because they did awful things to her.
The beginning, I have no problem with.
Oh, but you said that the beginning was the worst, the middle was better, and the end was the best.
The way that this movie was done, I thought the acting at the beginning was really bad, and I thought the shooting scene at the beginning was not nearly as well executed as it was in the original.
Executed.
Ha ha.
I completely agree. I think that scene, the classic scene where she knocks on the door and the whole film kind of kicks into gear.
Yeah, it goes from 0 to 60. That's not the violence that I have an issue with.
Okay.
Because there's logic behind that violence, right?
Well, but let's dissect that scene real quick. I don't know why it didn't work as well as the original French version. I think that...
You hit the nail on the head when we were watching it. It didn't feel like they were genuinely terrified. In the original, the acting was better, and it felt like a chaotic, true terror situation.
It was raw.
Yeah, and this, it felt completely scripted and acted.
Maybe it was because the first shot, that shotgun to the belly, was all CG. Yeah, and I try so hard not to make that matter, but the original, like, you basically see his intestines kind of like pop out. It's
okay, that's just for the record, that's not why I like
the
original
better. I understand,
better.
But I'm just saying that's so much more, even though you pointed out, not realistic in terms of what a shotgun can do to a body in this edition of Sam's Weapons Authenticity Report.
Sam's Weapons Authenticity Report.
Wait, are we talking about...
Hit
we're
me
talking
with
about
some authenticity.
Guns.
Yeah, I mean, in the original Martyrs, there's a shotgunning that happens very early on. It's almost comical, the effect that the shotgun has in throwing the victim across the room.
And the amount of blood on
and
the
amount
wall.
Of blood. And yeah, this one, there are a couple of similar scenes with the shotgun that are completely improbable and against the laws of physics. That's not even weapons accuracy. That's just physics accuracy.
Sure. 1 foot circular holes through doors.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's not a stick of dynamite.
Sure.
It's just a shotgun.
I mean, even if we're talking about those big thick pellets, like the
buckshot.
Yeah. Buckshot. That doesn't do that?
No.
Okay. Never shot a shotgun. Thanks, Sam.
I think generally, just speaking about the difference between the shotgun scene in the original and the shotgun scene in this one, this version of Martyrs that we watched tonight was much slicker and more...
Hollywood.
Yeah, more Hollywood. It didn't have the gritty realism of the totally unvarnished, harsh lighting, intimate... in a really gross way, cinematography of the original Martyrs.
Trying to think of the right word. I think immersive. Like, but it felt like you were part of the family in the original Martyrs, and that they knocked on your door and you were there.
Yeah.
It's a lot scarier. I wonder
if we should do a spoiler alert.
Anywhere beyond here, let's
even
give
that though.
That's just something that happens in Martyrs. If you watch the original Martyrs trailer, you see that scene, which is fucking insane that that's a French version of a trailer. But yeah, before we move into spoilers, why don't we just do some really gross wide observations?
Yeah,
there was an initial jump scare that I don't recall in the original Martyrs, and let me preface that by saying that I didn't watch the original Martyrs. I know we talked earlier that it's not the kind of film you rewatch. I feel like I should have, maybe. I would have been a better critic.
I'm okay with not having rewatched that.
It's been over a year since we watched.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard for us to really determine if this is a shot-for-shot remake and what is exactly
different. Yeah, let's not
even try.
Well, it isn't. They said it wasn't, so that's fine.
There was a jump scare at the beginning that I thought felt very Blumhouse. Yeah, which was, I think, unnecessary, but I don't know if it was in the original or if it was done better. Yeah, they tried to really make this an American film, which I guess is the goal when you purchase the rights to a film to remake.
Yes, you dumb it down and make it suitable for wide release in American theaters and Redbox.
The weird thing is, I don't think that this will ever show up theatrically. Oh, no. So what's the point?
To water it down. At the beginning, they may have hoped that it would get a theatrical.
What was the original Martyrs rated? It's R.
I would imagine it's R.
Well, I was just wondering if it was NC-17.
Triple X.
That's very interesting. I guess we could probably move into some dead giveaways.
Yeah, that's great. Let's do that.
This is the point in the show where we spoil a movie. If you don't want this movie ruined, I highly recommend you pause and watch this remake of Martyrs before continuing. It is going to be available January 22nd, right? VOD limited release, I would imagine. Right, Sam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I was trying to find if it was ever in C-17 on the original.
Sam, what were you going to spoil? I know you were leaning towards something.
I don't know. I just feel like everything that we talk about is spoiling.
It's true. This movie is a unique film, and Kelly, you said that it's unnecessary. Like, just the plot overall?
The plot overall is completely asinine.
So
here's the story, everyone.
Well, I don't know
if we should do that. If we're gonna spoil, let's not spoil the whole thing, I guess.
Okay, so the interesting thing, though, is in the new one, it isn't spoiling the whole thing because they come out with what this whole situation is at about the halfway point of the movie.
Sure. They do the explanation that they give.
So can I do that?
Yeah, at the tail end of the original film.
All right. So in this one, you find out halfway through the movie that the reason that these girls have been captured and tortured to the point of death is there is a group
near death.
Crazy mofos who think that they're going to find the ultimate answer to whether there is life after death by watching these girls get so close to death that they are essentially seeing what's on the other side and asking them, and then assuming that what they say is going to be the truth, assuming that they're going to tell them after they've been tortured as badly as they have been. The whole thing is completely stupid.
I think it seems pretty smart to me, honestly.
No, it isn't. First of all, how would you believe somebody at that point? Because there's no way that the brain could be functioning properly with that much pain going on.
Hey, Kelly.
Second of all,
what are your thoughts on near-death experiences? We've never really gotten into that.
It's way too big of a topic for me to even get into right now.
That's what we're doing here.
No, we aren't doing that because there is no reason even if, let's just say that near-death experiences are real, okay? There's no reason for this person who has been tortured to share any of that information with the people who have caused her such pain.
No, but what if it was so amazing what you saw on the other side that you just were compelled to completely open up?
The more amazing it was, the more I would be inclined to keep it from the people who had had ultimately murdered me.
Kelly, you have so much knowledge in like Eastern philosophy. The idea of seeing what's on the other side can be so like overwhelming and transcendent that it doesn't matter, and you become completely accepting of the torture that you've had. I think that that's the whole point.
All right. So
I don't think
even
you have any spite against the people who have done this to you, especially if you see something and it's amazing and they've almost borderline released you into.
The idea is that you have literally transcended.
Okay. So let's say you hit frickin' rainbow level and you're all happy and you're seeing it. The other thing is that's bigger in my mind. How could you possibly trust what this person is saying? You are counting on this as being fact. You are so certain that what you're going to get is fact that you are willing to literally kill dozens of people to get there.
That's the point, is that people are fucked up and there is almost nothing that humanity is not capable of.
So
also, they lead on that this has been going on forever. This is a group of people that didn't begin with the people who are torturing right now.
The idea that
down through history.
I mean, I guess it's an analogy for religion or something.
Sure,
which I guess
is an unnecessary element that they brought into this that, to my knowledge,
was not
in
the
original.
I think it was all inferred in the first one that this was a religious cult.
They threw this girl up on a cross this time. And in the branding of the logo, they added a cross and the T, and they made the girls go to a Catholic orphanage. I thought that was definitely not in the original and very Americanizing. I understand your frustration with the plot, Kelly, because it's definitely it's such a
freaking stretch.
You could say unnecessary, but I think the whole idea is actually very interesting. I don't know what else we can really say.
Yeah. We should probably talk a little bit about the violence. There is definitely some grisly violence, although it pales in comparison to the original.
Yeah. And when you see this and you hear Sam say that, you're going to be like, oh, Sam's probably exaggerating. No, really. Like, if we're talking on a scale of 1 to 10, this one's like a 3 and Martyrs was a 10.
Wait, you really think this is as low as a 3?
Yes. Compared to Martyrs?
Comparatively, yeah. But
compared
I'm saying,
to the original Martyrs? F, yeah.
I'm saying it for a casual horror watcher, this is
pretty
probably
brutal.
Gonna seem pretty grisly.
Right.
But in comparison, I see exactly what you're saying.
Nothing compared to the original, which some of you may then see why I have such a visceral and strong reaction to it.
Well, I would say that this probably is at Saw level or a little below.
Sure. I think that's a great comparison.
Like, how creepy is it that when I watched this, I was relieved that it was only that bad? That means
what
that
is
I'm
wrong
hanging
with
out,
you, Kelly?
That means I'm hanging out with some effed up people, watching some things that I shouldn't be watching because my brain needs happy.
You're lucky you're going to the happiest
Thank
place.
Thank God.
On the planet.
I need to regenerate some happy brain cells.
I do wish they put a little bit more into this film. It's hard because I've seen the original, so it's hard for me to judge how this would be looked at from someone with a fresh brain who knows nothing.
To stand on its own, and it's impossible to do once you've seen the original.
It was shot in less than 20 days, and it's technically considered an independent film, which is interesting.
I wonder what makes it technically an independent, if it didn't get involvement in some of the bigger production companies until after.
Yeah, I think it was probably made on its own, because I heard rumors of a budget between 1 and 3 million. I couldn't find any actual information about that. I don't know what the original film's budget is, but for a remake of a film like this, I just wish they would have thrown in big bucks, but it's just not marketable. So why did this happen?
I don't know. I thought it looked really good for having that limited of a budget.
Oh, visually,
yeah. The torture dungeon was fantastic.
The lighting on the stairs down, or on the, ladder down. It was amazing. It looked really good. A lot sleeker than think it needed to be. I don't know. Ugh, God, I've got such a weird brain. I promised myself I wasn't going to repeatedly compare this to the original. But
the original left me. It looked like everything had a film of filth on it. And then you felt like you had a film of filth on you when it was finished.
It was more like a film of reality, I guess. Like human life, which made it dirtier feeling to watch, you know?
Yeah, that's...
Because when you watch a movie, you're watching it through a specific lens. And when you watch these American remakes, that lens is a lot cleaner.
The sound on it was great. The sound design on a lot of the more gruesome scenes I thought was really good.
Speaking of gruesome scenes real quick, in the trailer they had a shot with a drill through a body. No drill in this film, right?
Score was extremely well done. Score sounded high budget.
Subtle.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I'm going to throw up. Coffee breath again.
See if you can get the mic and your laptop.
Okay.
So, hey guys, let's give a review or ratings. Are we ready?
Yeah, I'll kick it off, actually. I've said a lot about trying not to compare it to its original, but I can't do that. I can't separate from that. I feel pretty much the same way about the Let Me In, Let the Right One In remake debacle. That being said, I think it looked good. The acting was fine. I don't know if the characters were as compelling as the originals. God, I can't stop. I give it a five. Middle of the road film that I think is worth watching. Kelly?
4.2. Yeah. I mean, which is higher than I'd give the original. But if you're in a situation where you're threatened with torture, if you don't watch one of the versions, watch this one. But otherwise, skip them both.
Disagree completely. Sam?
I also disagree. If you are anything more than a passing student of horror, you need to watch the original Martyrs.
Not true.
This one, I'm with Byron. It's really hard to separate this from the shadow in which it stands. So I'm sorry. That's just the lens through which I watch this movie. It was very well done. Technically, the cinematography was great. Sound was great. The lighting was fantastic. I think they did an incredible job in a very short amount of time with a very limited budget. That being said, I would pick this up. I would watch it. And I give it, I'm sorry to do this, but I was going to give it a 5 also.
You know what? I'm fully okay with that, bro.
I felt
high, high five.
High five.
Nice.
That was the bad one.
Two
at first.
Tries.
Real
yeah.
Rough. Cool. Oh, well. And this has been our. Wait, you got one more?
No, I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. It was a middle of the road, very middle of the road.
And this has been a review of the remake of Martyrs. When you get a chance to see this, which once again, it's coming out on the 22nd on VOD, and I would imagine
limited theatrical.
Probably LA, New York, Chicago, if you live in a real city. Check it out. Let us know your thoughts at Fright Day on Twitter or contact at frightday.com, or just leave a comment below the episode notes on this post on frightday.com.
I'm ready to go on vacay. I'm feeling emotionally drained.
Sure. Sundresses. Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's 34 here right now.
Sundresses.
That's like summer.
You may be taking a break to spin around in teacups and do goofy things with Goofy.
Aww.
But the podcast will continue next week.
You can't kill the podcast.
And it's going to be a special episode. I don't want to give too much away.
More of me.
Oh, that's and that's next week. You have more of that to look forward to.
Yes!
You know what I look forward to?
What?
Reading their reviews of our show on iTunes.
I do too.
That's probably one of the coolest things you could do for us, is to go onto iTunes, let us know your thoughts of the show, give us some stars. That way, more people can get to know our show. If you have a free second, I would really appreciate that.
Please.
It's just so much easier than killing and eating our rivals.
It is. And I've just talked about how my tolerance for violence is really at capacity right now. So please don't. Don't force us
don't
to do that.
Don't do this to Kelly.
Oh, you guys.
Where could people find you on the internet to tell you about all the people that they spared?
That's awesome. You can find me at Kelly Fright Day on Twitter or Kelly at Frightday.com by email. I love you guys.
Well, that's very nice of you to say to them. How about you, Sam?
I am on Twitter at Sam Fright Day, and you can email me Sam at Frightday.com.
And I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter. Byron at Frightday.com is my email address. And until next Fright Day, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam.
Get there.
So, hey guys, did you get any good clothes for Christmas?
Are you talking to me?
I mean, I'm talking to both of you guys.
Kind of just staring off in the distance.
Well, I don't like to look at you guys so much.
I didn't, so unfortunately, I had to make my own.
You're not so easy on the eyes right now because you aren't wearing the coolest shirts on earth, whereas I am wearing...
I see that on your body, yeah.
Everyone's jealous.
That's the brand new Fright Day Hair Wolf t-shirt.
Yeah, because Valentine's Day is coming up right around the corner, and if you want to guarantee yourself a kick-ass date for Valentine's Day, you need to wear a Hairwolf shirt now.
This is a slick looking werewolf. He's got great hair and he's got enough attitude for everyone.
Love advice from Captain Kelly.
Shop.frightday.com. Check it out.